Monday Minnesota back in your face like we never left. This is the Mics Are Open Monday Minnesota. My name is G Money.
Andy Young.
And Big C.
Wagwan, guys. Happy Utamaduni Day.
Happy Utamaduni Day. Oh, super rested, man.
So for those listening outside of Kenya, today's another one of the government holidays, which we don't really know what we're supposed to do, but we're thankful.
You know what's funny? I saw the guy who, the lawyer who went to court to claim back the 10th of October, out on social media. Guys were posting up, man, the guy was partying. And he's just like, listen. And guys were posting up pictures with him like, thank you for getting us this holiday back.
Bruh, you know, yesterday I think G and I were both working, and towards the night, I was like, bro, it's Sunday night. Guys should be remorseful at least. Like, yeah, man, Monday is already here. Then it hit me. Yo, these niggas are not working tomorrow. Mm. You know, like, guys are going all out. And I'm like, oh, man, here we go. Another holiday, bro.
Bro, my gigs last night, like, I was at Bar Next Door. You were at the Jameson gig, which was dope from what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah, it went well, man.
Mm. But yeah, Bar Next Door was a zoo, bro. It was packed to the rafters, man. Crazy.
It was dope, man.
I was in bed by 6 o'clock yesterday.
Utandua.
And you know what? I don't know what got into me this weekend. For 2 days back to back at 6 p.m. I've been in bed.
Bro, you know what? I won't even lie to you. It's like bro.
No apologies.
No, don't apologize. I don't even think bad. I was just in a Zoom meeting, right?
Yeah.
2.5 hours training with some company in the UK. Mm. I'm trying to learn more about digital services and stuff, and DSPs and stuff. Yeah. So, I'm training with them. Bro.
That's dope, man.
Do you know what? I was just looking at that screen, and I was just looking at, wow, everyone's skin on this Zoom looks so radiant. And there's me with my 4 days of gigging nonstop. My beard is all over the place. My skin looks dry. I'm like, tomorrow, man, because we're training again tomorrow. I'm like, tomorrow, I'm going to be the moisturized nigga on that Zoom, bro.
Oh, man's even busier now.
Yep.
Well, it's busy. You know what? The funny thing about it is, it's like the opportunity has come to learn some more about digital streaming platforms. We are on a digital streaming platform right now, because if you're listening to us, Spotify, SoundCloud, whatever, they're all DSPs. But how do they actually work? And that's what I'm excited about with this kind of thing I'm doing in the UK, where I'm going to learn more about how they actually work and hopefully find a way in which to create revenue for the creators who are around our ends, whether it's Kenya, Ghana, wherever. So it's a very interesting model, and in the first day I've already learned so much about like the revenue splits on these DSPs. So it's very interesting.
But how crazy is that? Because now you're going back on that whole feeling of, you know, back at, like, it feels like you're back at school. And also at the same time, I don't know whether you can relate to this, at times it feels like you're taught things that you already know, but there's always a whole lot that you still don't know.
Bro, let me tell you, I'm glad you brought this up.
Yeah.
One thing I've learned from the training session I had today is this. In Kenya, we're so used to being jack of all trades at our jobs that we forget that each skill set we pick up is a particular skill set. So, for example, I was on the call today, and it was just interesting hearing the different experiences from everyone on the team. So there's guys from the Netherlands, from Belgium, from Brazil, from here, there, from everywhere. And what connected everybody was their love of music, yeah? But you had some guys who were radio guys, some guys were DJs, some guys were Twitch guys of online streaming. But it made me think that within that space, there was like a good 20 jobs, right? And then when I thought about Ken, I'm like, you know what? Jesus Christ. You know, you'd work for a company and they'd end up wanting you one to have all those 20 different skills. It's like when when someone says, oh, we need a videographer who can edit, who can take photographs, and who can write copy, and who knows how to use WordPress. Those are like four or five different jobs. But in Kenya, we tried to find one person who could do all of that. You get me?
Yeah, one-stop shop, yeah.
Yeah, man. And I think because of that, we're undervaluing, because it's like, at one stage, you know, guys were like, oh, we really liked your pitch. And I'm like, do you know how many days I spend pitching? Like, it's nuts. It's actually nuts. It's like, so it's a great learning opportunity that I hope to be able to bring back to the 254 and do bigger things. But I'm just excited. It's just it's fun.
Yo, let me tell you, on that whole, I'm glad that we're talking about learning, bro. Yo, back on that whole learning tip, I think if there's one thing I'm prepared to do going forward is not to stop learning. So I'm in a class, and in one of my classes, I'm learning about advertising, right? So I've been in the advertising field for years now. And bro, it's so interesting when we're learning something like the 5 M's of advertising. And here's a whole bunch of guys in school who are not even in the field, and they're giving you so many different ideas and saying this and that. And you're like, hold on. Okay. This is...
you're like, yeah, Monday.
This is different. No, no, no. Like, gee, it's not even like Monday or what. Bruh, how they break it down and all. So I don't even want to jade them. Because, you know, typically when you go to school, they give you this whole... a whole ton of information. And then when you go out to the field, it's not what it is. You're probably using what? Maybe less than 10% of it. So you're just like, okay, I like how these guys are mastering this, that. Ah, it's... I love it.
I'm really looking forward to a time when learning even in business, it just stops being something theoretical. Like if you go to business school, like you guys are going to the field, like you're actually doing what people do in the business world. You make your losses, you make your wins, you make your profits and everything, and you learn from the actual job. Because as we speak, I'm sure there's so many lecturers who've not been in the field the way they're supposed to be in the field,
right?
To bring that experience, you know,
so many
guys even in a PhD, you know, class. Like I'm really looking forward to a time when that's gonna happen, but the question is when.
That's the thing. Yeah. But you know, it has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So guys, context. Context is very, very important, right? So I don't know whether you guys have been able to watch Dave Chappelle's new special.
Yes. And
one thing that caught my attention is, okay, we'll talk about the trans community and everything, but one thing that has really caught the attention of a lot of people is Dave Chappelle talking about DaBaby shooting someone at Walmart. Right? And he went straight to that. And boom, boom, and everyone, I'll be one of those people, I'd admit it, I didn't know about that.
I didn't know either, bro.
Right? So when I watched it, I'm like, hold on.
Google.
DaBaby? Because I Googled, DaBaby shot someone, right? And watching the special and then watching Breakfast Club and Hot 97, Ebro and them break it down, and they're like, listen guys, DaBaby shot someone in self-defense. You get?
Yeah.
Like context.
Yeah.
Of yeah, man. It's yeah. So crazy.
But I mean, obviously I think Dave delivered it the way he did to get the reaction that he got, you know? It's like, yeah, and to drive the point across. But context is everything. Can I ask you guys a question? Did this special feel very different from his pre... I'm going to tell you, I think in the first, say, 25 minutes of the special, I found the jokes were all quite flat. Like, they were funny, but they weren't Dave Chappelle funny. And by the time we got like halfway through and he started talking about trans and LGBTQ, right? I sensed, I could be wrong, it could just be me. I kind of sensed that he almost felt nervous on this thing, bruv. You know?
He did. Because remember, he kept saying, oh, they're going to come for me. They're going to come for me. Right. Oh, they're going to come for me. But he kept pushing and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And, you know, having watched it and gone back to listen to people's opinions on it, and, you know, wild over and everything, a lot of people, some guys not liking it and some guys liking it. But I feel like, and I definitely stand corrected on this, I feel like he actually had a right to push it that way because he's a comedian. Let's not get it twisted, right? comedians have been making jokes about just about whatever it is in life, right? And now we're at a point where a particular set of people who have actually been fought, right? And have fought for their rights to, you know, and by all means, we celebrate their rights, right? Mm. But can we not make jokes about them as well?
Right.
No. We should be able to make jokes about whoever and whatever.
And I think what really I took away from that is the fact that I think the pain point for Dave Chappelle is the fact that, you know, there's a community that can you literally can't run a joke about. Like, you cannot run a joke about.
Exactly.
Yet, when you look at other communities, whether it's someone, and I hate equating the two, but whether it's a black American suffering from racism or whatever, where the pushback, where the pushback for you to do crazy shit or say crazy shit is not there. But what I will say is, the last 15 minutes of the special,
home.
Fucking genius.
Home.
Genius, bro.
Man.
The way he set up the story about his friend, his trans
the
friend
lady,
who died.
Spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't.
Oh, sorry. Right, right. Yeah, if you haven't watched it yet.
Like that, how he narrated everything and brought it to that story. I was like, yo, listen.
This fucker is a genius, bro.
He's an amazing storyteller.
Storyteller, man. The man said empathy is not black, it's not white, it's not gay, it's not straight. If anything, it's bisexual because it goes both ways. And he's, and like that quote, and he was like, and he goes, please do not abort the baby. But I'm telling you, I got goosebumps when he told that story at the end. For me, the final 15 minutes of the special, and I don't know what to take away from it. Is this him saying, Sawa, you guys have won, and I'm not going to talk about this anymore? Or is he saying that I'm not going to speak about trans or gay people until we can both laugh at each other? And it's been on my head, like, since I watched it, because I thought about, I'm like, yo, you know what, like he said, that woman who lost her life, right, he said she would have loved the jokes he was making that day, right, but she was hounded
by
the
her own
community
for
supporting him.
To the point where she took her own life.
That shit is bananas, bro.
Like, how fucked up is that?
That shit is bananas, bro.
I'm with you and I'm not with you.
Mirror. It's facing the mirror and the ugliness, bro.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's the point right there. Because if you think about, bro, guys made jokes about, what's a basketball guy?
Who's Magic. Magic.
Magic Johnson.
Magic's had jokes made about him since the day he
ever
was
since.
Hit. Bro.
Bro. And we're talking about the 90s when HIV and AIDS was like,
stigmatized.
Stigmatized, right?
But even deeper than that.
We make jokes about that.
Bro,
yeah?
we make jokes about ourselves every single day.
Exactly.
Like, for example, and it's like, even Andrew Schultz does it, making jokes about black folk. Like, the other day, I read something and it was said, you know, if black people show up to an event early, they don't stay long. Bro, I almost crashed my car. Because in my mindset, that is me. If I turn up to your function early, just know I ain't staying long. So I think observations about life. And I mean, fam, like what he said about Caitlyn Jenner. Like Caitlyn Jenner, when she, when Bruce Jenner trans, I want to get my words right. How do you call it? What is the right correct?
When she did what? She came out or she did her sex change?
She transitioned.
Yeah.
Bruce transitioned into a woman.
Did the trans change
into Caitlyn Jenner, and in 1 year became Woman of the Year. Bruh, what does that say?
What does that say?
That one hit me. I won't lie. That one hit me.
Man, you compare that. You compare that to what is that lady who in India, the young girl?
Who's that?
The young gun who won the Nobel Peace Prize, right? Mm. What she had to go through. Like I'm saying, let's not
Amalia, where her name was.
Yeah. Mm. And having to undergo everything that was going on, and then there's that. Mm. So you see that whole white card as well at play.
Like that is, and I think that's the essence of what my man was trying to say.
Yep.
Yeah. But his line where he goes, one day in 20 years' time when this kid's grown up and I'll be able to say, your father was the best woman I've ever met. Yo, that shit was fucking genius, bro. Genius, bro.
Hit home. Also, I feel like, you know, all creative industries were enjoying their creative licenses until a certain point where even comedians feared touching on certain subjects for fear of cancellation. But Dave Chappelle out here opening with you, I love the cancel culture, you know, like, I'm here for, like, I want them to come and get me. Like, that's his energy, you know. So he brought back the glory to the comedic license stand-up comedians can use, you know. Like, you know what? He wasn't afraid to stand his ground and say, wagwan, despite the fact that these guys can come out here and literally cancel you in a matter of seconds.
Yeah. My man was like, I
love that.
That they dragged me on Twitter. But I don't give a fuck because Twitter is not a real place.
It's not a real place, bro.
See, at the end of the day, you know, how you guys going to cancel Dave Chappelle? But he's already done it.
Let me give you an example. And this is my mantra that I like. I tried to change my Twitter blog today to be Twitter is not a real place, but you're not allowed to have Twitter in the name of your screen name, right? Fam, over the weekend, right? A friend of ours, Cadzo, posted a tweet about me not replying to an email. Yeah? Now, you know, me and Cadzo are good friends. We're all good friends. Fam, guys took that as an opportunity to jump down my throat. These fugly motherfucking celebrities who don't want to respond. Like, it's like guys were just waiting for something to be said to jump on it. And I sat there laughing with Cadzo on WhatsApp until it wasn't funny no more. I'm like, wait a minute. These motherfuckers actually think that. And to me, that says everything to what Dave Chappelle said. Twitter is not a real place. It is not a real place. It's nuts. It's crazy. And I genuinely really, I mean, okay, we all have numbers on Twitter in terms of follows and stuff. But I genuinely always think about something that Larry Madowo said, I think on the interview that we did with him years ago, Calvin, where he said... Yeah. You know what? With or without social media, I am still Larry Madowo. You get
100%.
Me? And there are so many people out there. You ask yourself the question, with or without your social media handles, are you still who you are? You get me?
Yeah.
By the way,
Go on. No, did we not talk about how Khaligraph Jones really handed some humble pie to someone who came at him for posting up photos in the States.
Right.
You know, someone telling him, oh, you're not the only one in
We go the to States. The States
and
as
Khaligraph,
well.
Yeah. Yeah, we go to the States as well. And Khaligraph going like, oh, sorry, small bro, give me your number. I forgot I flexed a bit too hard and, you know.
I'll send you something.
Send me your number, I'll send you something. And the guy gave him the number. And that's it, a lot.
Yeah,
you know, of
bro.
Course, he got what was coming.
Battered.
But... Yeah, that says a lot about, you know, this is someone who's just desperate and they don't have nothing to them right now.
Bro,
point where the person that they're hating on asks them to give them their number to get something small and he actually gave him the number?
Bro, let me tell you, fam.
There was zero transitions, bro. Zero transitions.
I have lost count of the amount of times somebody has dissed me on Twitter and then apologized in the DM. It's the maddest thing, bro. Like, the ratio is a good 80%. Yo, G-Money, you're a pussy. And then DM is like, hey, G, I didn't mean what I said. Don't block me. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't even know you. I muted you, though.
It's a virtual place, bro.
it's not
virtual.
A real place, bro. And the thing about it is, it's like...
Silence.
I won't even lie to you. And Calvin and I mean, I've been friends longer than I've known you. One of the biggest issues that I struggled with in this whole Twitter, social media game was I always used to ask Calvin, but why are they famous? But what do they do? But they're just having fun in just drinking. Like, they're just like, what is this thing that people are doing to create? And fast forward like 7 years later, I look at it now and I'm like, bruh, there are people out there whose entire
agenda,
not agenda, entire
persona
has been crafted on social media.
Yep.
And it's like, and at the end of the day, like, what do you stand for? Like, as in, for me, it's like, I'm a guy who some days I'm super happy, some days I'm super sad. I'm a human, you know? But it's like, end of the day, like, we're just living in a world of transition, bruv, where it's, your life is curated by the quality of your editor.
Wow. You know,
shout
you know
out to Kimanzi. Nah, man, yo, by the way, in that transition,
but you know what? I like
Kimanzi's killing it.
Facts.
He's 100%. You know what? I like that we're talking about that whole persona and everything. And much respect to guys who've been able to create
employment
and, you know, gone on to do so much with the internet. We embrace it and we keep it moving, right? But they've also been so many people let me put it this way, right? How impactful are you without your social media as well? You get? Because I was thinking about this in real life, right? This past weekend and everything, and this weekend I just chilled and I was just listening to myself, environment and everything. I've really not been anywhere. And bro, that video of Adele addressing out in Europe, right? France, right? And when she delivered that speech, and I was just like, bro, that is what you call impact.
That is what you call impact, man. From leaving a radio station to developing a leading podcast to having a purpose and a plan and a vision to standing on a stage and pulling up the president of France, Adele Onyango. Yep. I salute you.
100%. 100%, man. Like, I was watching that and I'm just like, bruh.
And I want brands to think about that. Here's a woman who creates her podcast in her house. Maybe she goes to a studio, takes her show on the road, and allows people to tell their stories. And she achieves something from her podcast, which she records and produces herself, that's taken her to a stage in Europe where she's addressing the president of France. And you tell me that podcasts are not impactful? And you tell me that podcasting is just something that guys do for instead of going to therapy? And you tell me that sitting behind the microphone and allowing people to tell their stories is not the most impacting thing that we can do as broadcasters, as podcasters? I think for anybody who's reading from that script, they need to tear up the manuscript.
Wow, that's deep.
You can't say nothing else after that.
I think we're done.
This has been the Monday Minisode. My name's G
Money. But also, wait, hold up. Just a bit of madness. Are we going to allow The Rock to rap?
Oh, hell no. You know why?
Why?
Because we can't smell what The Rock is cooking.
Now we can end.
This has been the Monday Minisode. My name's G Money.
Andy Young.
And Big C.